We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
My friends, the greatest privilege that God ever confers upon us Christian people is the privilege to call on Him. The God of the universe doesn't only tell us we ought to pray, but He invites us to pray. He says, come over and see me when I can do anything for you. Call on me if you need me. Anytime you like to come around, I'm not too busy to talk to my children. And I'm not too busy to hear your petitions. What a privilege that is. What an honor God's conferred upon us. How marvelous it is. He loved us when we were sinners and sent His Son to die for us. He loved us like that when we were rebels against Him. Now we are His children. We are born again, children of God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. He called God His Father, and we call Him our Father. Jesus Christ is our elder brother. We are rich in Him, and we come around and talk to God. Now, if you don't get what you want from God, it's because of one or two things. You either want what you ought not to have, or you are not right when you ask for it. Now, there's one wonderful verse. It's James 4:3. I want you to notice it. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Now, he said, you ask for a good many things, and you never get them, because you have the wrong motive in asking for them. You know, you can't pop a sham life off on God. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God knows the motive that prompts you when you ask Him for something. You say, God, give me this. What do you want with it? Well, I want to use it selfishly. Well, God's against selfishness. God will not condone selfishness. Now, let's remember that. If God gave you something to use for a selfish motive, God would be doing wrong. And God will not do wrong. Selfishness is sin. And the man who asks God for something to use just for himself, then God Almighty says, well, I can't give you that. If I gave you that, I'd be a party to what you're doing. You know, God is not a party to selfishness. He's not a party to laziness. God won't give you something that you don't need just to gratify a curiosity. But the thing that you need, anything it is, whatsoever you need, whatsoever you can use for His glory. And you are not happy when you're selfish. God wants you to be happy. You know, selfish people are the most miserable people in the world. The only people I've ever found on earth who are happy are unselfish people. The man who looks for a good time never has a good time. Young folks out just looking for fun never have fun. Happiness is something, as we've said so many times, that you stumble over on the road of duty. You're going down the road of duty, trying to do what God wants you to do, and all at once, you stumble over happiness. You were not looking for happiness. You were looking for an opportunity to serve, an opportunity to do good. Now, you found happiness when you were not looking for it. No man ever has been happy in this world who was always looking for happiness. He's miserable in his effort to find it. Selfishness. That's what's the matter with people. You know, somebody said to me one time, I don't see how on earth anybody could be happy as a missionary. Well, if God made you for a missionary and called you for a missionary, you never will be happy unless you are a missionary. People are never happy outside of the sphere in which God means them to move. I told you before, I'm sure I have, because it's an old saying of mine, that everything that does what God made is happy. God made the fish for the water, and God made birds for the air. Birds sing in the air, and fish play in the water. But put the fish in the air, the fish dies, and put the bird in the water, the bird dies. God never made fish for the air, and God never made birds for the water. Everything in the universe of God that moves in the sphere where God meant it to move is happy. Now, you can't be happy unless you move in the sphere that God means you to move in. Now, that means you can't be happy if you're selfish. Selfish people interested in themselves. You know, I've been noticing so much here lately that people in Christian work who are selfish have ambitions to go places and do things and accomplish something for the world's honor and for the sake of position, thinking they can make themselves happy by that. And I've never found one of them happy. The happiest people I've ever seen have been some missionaries and some saints of God that moved in humble places and lowly places. But they moved in the sphere where God meant them to move, and they were happy. And you people here, selfish people, running around asking God, give me this, give me this, give me this. What do you want with it? Well, I just like to have a good time. Now listen, nothing wrong saying, ask God, God, give me a comfortable night's sleep. Why do you want to be comfortable? Well, God, I'm tired. And I'd like to have strength for the duties of tomorrow. I want to wait for you. I've got the burdens of my home and my children. I want to bring them up for you. So give me a comfortable night's sleep. Give me a rest. But just to ask God to give you a comfortable bed and rest, just to coddle yourself, that's selfishness. God, give me a comfortable place to stay. Why do you want a comfortable place to stay? Well, I love comfort so much. I just want to be comfortable. I just love that sort of thing. Oh, listen just a minute. Who doesn't? Who doesn't love comfort? Why, men and women, you are not going places just because you are like that. That's natural for unregenerated people. You know, Jesus was never comfortable. He slept out at night. He never had a nice home to live in. But he saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. He's on his way to the cross, on his way to the Calvary, came to do the will of his Father, to die to save people. He saw beyond the cross and saw the glory of his Father, prayed for the glory of his Father. All prayer that exalts self never gets anything from God. The prayer that moves God is the prayer that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, that honors him. Now, Lord, give me this. I want this, God. What do you want with it? He says, well, I just want it. Now, listen just a minute. You have many right to want anything just for yourself. Just for yourself. Now, you have normal appetites. All right to want food. But whatever you eat or drink, you do all for the glory of God. You'd eat for his glory and drink for his glory and live for his glory. And that's the way to be happy in this world. If you would begin your life now and say, what I do from now on, everything I do by the grace of God, I'm going to keep in my mind the exaltation and the glory and the honor of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'd go places for God, and you'd be a happy Christian. Did you ever stop to think about it? Paul could sing in prison. If any man ever had a hard time, Paul did. But he did the will of God. He went God's way. He exalted Jesus Christ. He magnified the name of the Son of God whom he met on that Damascus road. And Paul was not a miserable, wretched man, though he suffered pain and suffering and all sorts of persecution, opposition, everything the kind. Yet he went on. The martyrs of Christ have been able to walk through fiery furnaces singing praises to God because they had in mind the exaltation and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, James says, ye ask and receive not. You've got to ask, but you've got to ask in the right way and have the right motive. Now, what must be the motive? The motive is, I want this, Lord. What for? I want food and drink and shelter and comfort. And the things of life, all I can use for thee, I want. That's all I ask. Anything that you cannot use for God's glory, you have no right to ask for. You have no right to ask God to give you something to use for the devil and his work. I remember one time a woman said, you know, I just prayed God to give me money. I want money. I've been asking God for money. What do you want with it? Oh, well, she said, my neighbors all have money. Why doesn't God give it to me? Why, listen just a minute. If God gave some folks I know money, they'd go to hell much faster. They ask God for money, and they ask it for a selfish motive because they want to beat their neighbor and outshine somebody in the world, and their motive is a selfish motive. Now, sometimes men in this country that God gives certain ability to go out and use human effort to make money, and accomplish things and build fortunes, and then the fortunes curse them or their children. And so it goes. But I'm talking now about asking God for things. Now, if you go to God and ask Him for money, what do you want with this money? Well, I'd like to have a better home than my neighbor has. I'd like to have a nicer automobile. I'd like to have this. I'd like to have that. I'd like to have the other. And I'd like to outshine people around you. I'd like to show them something. I remember sometime recently when Bob Jones University was unusually honored by a little matter that came up. It was honored by some people that had not been inclined to honor the school. And it so happened that God gave us an opportunity to do something at a very critical time, in a very critical situation, that in our hearts we were inclined to be proud that we could do, because it was the sort of thing we could show them something, see. And I said, oh God, forgive me. Forgive me, God. Don't let me think about that. Let me think of Thy glory. Men and women, it isn't an easy thing in this world to keep all the time the Lord Jesus Christ up before you. It's so easy to think of things in the times of human applause, of human approval, of human honor. It's so easy to think about gratifying self and reaching out after things that we want to hold and enjoy, things that perish with the using. Give me money. What do you want with it? Well, I'd like to have it as much as I can use for your glory. I don't want any more than I can use for the glory of God. Somebody said to me, wouldn't you like to have $100 million for Bob Jones University? Not unless I could use it for His glory. It would scare me to death. I'd be afraid. I might think of money, see. We only want what we can use for His glory. God, save us from selfishness. Deliver us from this selfish driving impulse that gets hold of us. So easy to be selfish. We're born that way. Belongs to the old nature. We have our hands stretched out to get something, something we want, something we're looking for. And we're going through life, day in, day out, most of us, selfish. So when we go to pray, we run around and ask God, God, give me this. Give me this. He said, I'm not going to do it. Why? Well, you want to consume it on your own lusts, want to gratify your own appetites, want to gratify your own worldly ambitions. I'm not going to give it to you. I'm not going to give you something. I wouldn't be a party to that. You can't line up God on the wrong side. You can't make God approve of something that's wrong. He's a good God and a holy God. And you can't fool God either. He knows what you're up to. Men and women, I wonder if you and I couldn't right now, before we go off the air, right where we are, I wonder if we couldn't just ask God to search us and ask God to take out our hearts' selfish motives and ask God to make us unselfish Christians. Ask God to help us get all on the altar, out and out, yielded and dedicated and consecrated to Almighty God. How about doing that now? May the power of God come upon us, and may we be so yielded and so consecrated and so dedicated to God that from this time henceforward, when we go to Him, we can ask Him for what we want. And want what we want for His glory and not for selfish motives.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.